That's so cool. Okay.
And I'll keep them. I know I even modified mine because I missed the deadline date.
Because
my slide presentation, remember, they asked us to have a slide from like 12 to 18 slides?
Yeah.
Mine's 56, but it's mostly data, so I'll just fly through it. But it was like 80.
Yeah,
and I went through and I changed my slides, and I went on the 22nd to upload them. It's too late.
Yeah.
So luckily, it let me do it here.
That's great.
It's like, oh no, I have 80 slides. I've got to fly
Oh, yeah, well, I presented this in L.A., and we had 45 minutes, basically the same
right,
data.
Right.
And so it was total, and when you sent me the email, 12 minutes, I was like, oh my God. And of course, you think everything in there is important.
Remember that feeling? In the middle of nowhere, at the end of the world. Yeah. Kate Keller, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, sure. Mary Krieger.
Nice to meet you, Mary.
Get your breath.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get something mailed, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, it's time.
And it's not the very end. Time, but we're just in the world. Sure. Okay. Well, you're the first to go.
So,
I mean, seconds to go. You're seconds to go. So you will go on.
So how did she get on the
No.
Oh.
So we, Vonda's coming tomorrow morning, so
I can either wait for me to figure this out.
He doesn't have to clean it spotlessly. He just wants to have companies that are coming to the
I think this are, that's a real reality. So. All right, we're all here. Okay. Guys, ready? Good afternoon, everybody. Wow. Is that as loud as it sounds up here? Thank you all for walking to the end of the earth to find our session. Anybody else have to go up and down, trying to figure out how to get here? I'm Kate Keller, and I am a senior program officer at the Health Foundation of Greater Cincinnati, and I am stepping in for John Schlitt as a moderator today. He was not able to join us for this session, and he asked me, because I'm one of his board members, so he asked me to come and asked me to step in since I was already presenting today. Today we're going to talk about different issues around evaluating and access services for through school-based health centers, and we have five great presenters today to share with you information on that. We're going to get started. I'd like you to hold questions until the end, with the exception of when Gail presents, because she's got to catch an airplane. So after our second presenter, if you have questions specifically for her, you may ask them. But for the rest of us, we'd ask that you'd wait till the end, and we should have enough time for questions at the end. So I'm going to let Sarah up and begin our presentations.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Geierstanger. I work for University of California, San Francisco, with Dr. Claire Brindis and Samir Solomon for. We are going to talk today about the evaluation of the Alameda County School Health Services Coalition. I'm 7 months pregnant, and I just ate 2 Butterfingers, so so if I start, you know, she'd like to kick, but I think I should be calm. Okay. So how do you? So our evaluation is supported through a research evaluation contract from the Alameda County School Health Services Agency. So in sum, today I'm going to describe to you the structure of the coalition, describe our process and outcome evaluation, and also share with you some of our key evaluation findings. First, I'm going to describe the School Health Services Coalition. Since its formation in 1996, it's actually been staffed with funding from the Alameda County School Health Services Coalition, from the Healthcare Services Agency. And today there are 12 school health centers. It started with only 4. There are 30 Our Kids sites, which are case-managed behavioral health care services in 30 elementary and middle schools throughout the county. And there are some big expansion plans underway. We're about to get 10 new school health centers throughout the county, and they're really trying to reach out to increase school health centers in underserved areas of the counties. And we're even going into juvenile justice programs, providing health care through juvenile justice programs. So the coalition has quite a broad umbrella. The partners include school and district administrators, medical and mental health practitioners, government agencies, as well as youth and youth advocates. And there are many committees that meet together to work to advance the broad goals of the coalition. Here's a map of where it's located. Alameda County, for those of you who don't know, is just across the bay from San Francisco. It includes the cities of Oakland and Berkeley. California as a state has 153 school health centers. As I said, right now, Alameda County has 11 with plans to expand. The coalition provides each school health center with $100,000 annually for core funding. And then each center must match that with funds from their medical and mental health provider agencies, as well as the school district. And most of you probably know school health centers also get funds from third-party reimbursement through different government sources, grant funds, and then the schools also provide a lot of in-kind contributions, space, custodial services, et cetera. So the benefits of being a member of the school health center are, one, the resources and funding, which I just described. And two, policy development and support. The staff of the coalition help, for example, help the school health centers develop confidentiality policies. They also provide a lot of technical assistance and sharing of best practices, for example, how to bill more effectively. And then in return, school health center members are required to provide a certain minimum number of program hours. They have to participate in monthly director meetings, various ad hoc provider meetings, submit quarterly reports to the coalition, and participate in our UCSF evaluation. So we evaluate most of the components of the coalition, but today I'm really focusing on the school health centers. And we've been the evaluators since 1997. The evaluation has definitely evolved over the decade or so. We work very closely with the sites in developing the design and the tools. And we've settled on a few key core evaluation tools, and I'm going to describe to you those next. So the primary data collection tool is our electronic client database. For years, we've been using Clinical Fusion, and many of you may know about Clinical Confusion. It's actually a great program. It's designed specifically for use in school-based health centers. The problem for us was that it's not web-based, so we were spending a lot of time driving from clinic to clinic to clinic to get the data, update the database, et cetera. So now, this past year, we've transitioned to efforts to outcomes, ETO is what we call it, and it's web-based. So there's some advantages to that. However, it's turning out to be a little bit more costly than we had anticipated in terms of tailoring the software to our evaluation needs. But overall, we love our database. I mean, this is the real central key to our evaluation. And we also have developed a custom module on school health centers that is added to the classroom-based California Healthy Kids Survey. This is a state-mandated survey that's administered to grades 7, 9, and 11 in California. Advantages of this tool are that we can compare clients and non-clients. We have a question in our module saying, have you ever used a school health center, for example. Disadvantages are that we're at the end of the state-mandated survey, so response rates can be low. Sometimes students don't make it all the way to our module. But again, an advantage of it is that because we're part of the state-mandated survey, administratively it's a lot easier for the schools. We're not coming in with a separate survey and a separate survey day. Finally, the other tool I'm going to talk about today is the pre-post client survey. What we did is we took, when we first came on, every clinic had their own kind of version of a client survey. We took all the different client surveys through many, 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 many meetings. We came up with a tool that everyone agreed to use, and it's administered at their first visit, and then again, 3 to 4 months later, and we can get more in-depth information on risk assessment. And some of the clinics actually use it as a risk assessment tool in addition to just having it be a research tool. The disadvantage of this tool, as with the California Healthy Kids Survey, is that we can't link it to our client database because of HIPAA and confidentiality reasons. And also the tracking, getting the pre-post data can be time-consuming, so we found that getting a high response rate has been challenging, but each year we keep refining our methods and are hoping to increase the response rate, you know, through incentives, et cetera. So our two main evaluation questions are, how does the availability of the health centers impact access and utilization, and what impact do the health centers have on the clients? So this chart shows that the number of clinics of clients and visits has increased each school year with the establishment of new health centers and improved health outreach efforts. As you can see, the number of clients has increased over the years, and last year we served 6,624 clients in the 11 health centers. The number of clinic visits has actually increased over 100% from about 12,500 in 2001-02 to over 27,000 last year. So the average number of visits per client has increased from 3.1 to 4.1. And we think part of this is because some of the new health centers that have come on board are focused more on mental health services, so those clients tend to be seen more frequently. So in 2006-07, nearly a third of the student population were registered health center clients. The majority are female, and they represent diverse racial groups, generally representative of the school populations that they serve. Most of the services are for medical services, about 65%. Of those, roughly a third are for family planning, a third for first aid, and a third for others, such as sports physicals. the mental health services include crisis intervention as well as individual and group ongoing therapy sessions. So data from our California Healthy Kids survey shows that the centers are actually helping clients receive needed care. We found that 44% of clients versus 22% of non-clients said that they received needed counseling and mental health services. And 53% of clients versus 22% of non-clients said that they received needed reproductive health services. In addition, the clients reported again in the Healthy Kids survey that health centers helped them get help sooner than they would have otherwise, and they got services they wouldn't have received otherwise. And data from our post-client survey shows that the clients really like the health centers. They choose the health centers primarily for the privacy and the confidentiality, the convenient location, the free services. They like the staff and the convenient hours. They also said that the school-based health center staff are people that they can go to for advice or information and are easier to talk to than other doctors or nurses. Now I'm going to present some data showing the impact on the clients. So our mental health providers report that at their initial visits, most of their clients present with a broad range of issues, as shown in the left-hand column here, from depression and sadness, attention learning, anger management, oppositional behavior. After 3 to 6 months of mental health services, there was significant improvement among 38% that experienced depression and sadness, 42% that had anxiety and nervousness, 30% with anxiety and nervousness, 42% with attention and learning problems, and 40% that had PTSDT. The problems where I don't show the significant improvement was because there was very little change from the initial visit to the follow-up visit. We think that perhaps if we have a longer follow-up period, we might be able to see some change in these areas. These might be harder areas to change. And we're just now examining the second year of data and are hoping that we will see some change in these areas as well. And then again, from a Healthy Kids survey, we find that the school-based health centers, that the clients attribute the mental health services and helping them deal with family and personal issues, having goals and plans for their future, doing better in school, and using alcohol, tobacco, and drugs less often. This is our outcome data on contraceptive use. Again, from the first to a 3 to 6 month follow-up visit, you can see that the percent of female family planning clients reporting in the past month that they always use condoms declined very slightly from 34 to 31%. This was not significant. The percent that always use birth control and condoms together in the past month increased, again, not significantly. But what was very significant was the percent that always use birth control. This increased from 13% to 33% at follow-up. Those are the main findings, but I just want to mention that there's some additional tools that we won't have time to talk about today in detail. This past year, we developed the Youth Program Post-Survey, which is administered to participants in youth development programs that are sponsored through the school health centers. This has some really compelling data on increased resiliency of participants in terms of increased satisfaction with their school experience and feeling more connected to their school. We also give the sites the option of we conduct focus groups for them if they'd like with students. We conduct parent surveys, school staff surveys. And the school health centers really like these tools because it provides very usable data that they can use in their marketing and also in their relationship building with their school districts. And finally, some of you may have heard about we, for a few years, conducted student research teams. These were very successful in terms of training youth to conduct research and then using that research to advocate for change in their schools. Some of them were able to advocate for change for condom distribution policies in their school districts. Others were able to get new programs installed around mental health services. So by sharing all of this data, we have a lot of different data collection tools and a lot of different fields that we're looking at, but we're able to really show the multi-dimensional impact of the school health centers. So in conclusion, we feel like the coalition's coordinated umbrella structure has really helped to improve efficiencies across the county. And our standardized mixed method process and outcome evaluation has been useful. However, we've learned the hard way that more is not necessarily better. And over the years, we've tried to whittle down the amount of data collection tools we use and really ask the sites what's absolutely necessary and ask the coalition leaders of this data we're collecting what's most useful for you for your advocacy and your planning purposes. And finally, regarding our findings, we definitely have seen that more students are receiving more care. Clients are more likely than non-clients to receive needed care. And there's been improvements in mental health indicators and birth control use. And we share our findings broadly at conferences such as this, but also with the clinics themselves, the coalition staff, policymakers, and funders. Thank you.